You got the touch. You got the power.
So, on a nice little cute special edition of the Kitchen Sink Podcast, I have our very first female guest here. I'm here with V. V?
Hello, everyone. Thanks for having me, Ed.
Definitely.
All two listeners.
Okay. All right, I want to ask you something, V, and I thought this was good because since Valentine's Day is coming, this is pretty much when these movies come about. What's a few of the saddest movies you've ever seen?
The saddest.
Like, what's one of the saddest movies you've ever seen?
I think one of the saddest movies I've seen is one of my favorites is E.T.
Okay.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I didn't even think about E.T.
And you know, every time I see that movie, no matter what channel it's playing on, you know, it brings me back to when I was, you know, 5 years old, a child, and it's just sad. And you know, you can't help it when E.T. and Elliot bring the light together.
All right, so was that what got you? Because I remember watching that movie, and I always cried as a kid when the plant died. Because that's when you know E.T. died.
Why?
Why are you laughing, man? This is serious.
I'm sorry.
Taking your plant serious.
No, because you knew when the plant died, E.T. died. And so that, what got you? What was your side? Was it when they touched? What was it?
I think it was when Elliot was almost dying. Like, he was in that big astronaut thing, and E.T., they were connecting. And, like, the light was just dimming down. Yeah. The kid was about to die, and you didn't know what the hell was going to happen. You thought they were going to really die.
No, that was big.
Yeah, so that was definitely big. So sad.
No, that was good. But that plant, man, and I think just withered. I was like, I remember being, like, 6, I think. That came out such a long time ago. I probably saw the second rendition of it. But what would you have any more?
And I don't know if you've seen this, but it's a chick flick. It's called The Notebook. I'm sure half of America, or female, gay, bi, or whatever, saw The Notebook. It's a really nice love story, but it's very sad in the end.
I've never seen it, and if you want to tell us the ending, go right ahead.
I'm going to spoil it. Okay, for those who haven't seen it.
It's been out long enough that it's not a spoiler anymore.
It's true. The sad is that the way the movie starts is when they're, you know, the two characters are young and they tell this love story. And at the end, it ends where the husband is the one telling the story and the wife has Alzheimer's. And she basically, like, dies.
Oof.
So it's tearjerker. Oof.
So I already see the cover. It has to do with them, obviously. They end up meeting.
Ryan Gosling, my heart. Love you, Bill.
Oh, sorry.
See what happens when we have the first female guest. Okay, give a shout out to Ryan Gosling. Okay, that's cool. So, all right,
I forgot Channing Tatum.
Oh, he was in there too?
No. Are you disappointed?
Was he in any sad movies this guy?
No, not yet.
No, right. I mean, I consider, you know, Magic Mike saddest movie in men's.
He was in a sad movie. You want to know what sad movie he was in? G.I. Joe.
No, that was the Wayne's fault.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So, that was cool. And I, tell us what your sad movies were. I know a lot of people responded. Thank you, V.
Thanks for having me.
Definitely.
Everyone enjoy your Valentine.
And you enjoy yours too, V. You, V, and Chris Wizard are going to enjoy their Valentine's this weekend.
I hope so.
Okay. All right. Thank you, V. And that was our very first guest on the Kitchen Sink Podcast.
And she was horrible.
I love you.
She's making her way out as I got a story to tell. So, I remember it clearly. I was 15. Okay, we'll get to the not happy part. But let me tell you why I wasn't happy at this particular time. I was 15 years old, and This is kind of when I started dating.
Another horror story, guys.
Yeah, this is a horror story mixed with a sad story. And I remember this girl, I said, what you want to go watch? What you want to see in the movies? She said, oh, me and my friends, we were all going to go to the movies, and now they're thinking about making it a double or triple date. So I'm guessing now, you know, you should come. As if though, like, I was thinking the whole time I was coming, but whatever. So we end up going. I was 15.
Adolescence.
I was 15. She was 14.
It sucked.
We were dating. I was actually allowed to date, and she was allowed to date without chaperones. We went to the movie theater in 161st, and at this time it was still fresh. It was still new. We went, and we saw Untamed Hearts, and with Slater and Marissa Tomei.
Slater from Saved by the Bell?
No, not that Slater.
No.
Christian Slater. Christian Slater, Marissa Tomei. And the whole thing was, he was like a cook or a cleaner in a restaurant, and she was going to her car one day, he saved her. He was always kind of a weirdo, and
he saved her from her car?
No, somebody was trying to rob her, and, you know, she started liking him, and he told her a story how his heart, he had a heart operation that his father gave him, because his father had the baboon heart that he got when he was, I don't know, hunting and Kilimanjaro. I don't remember. Last time I saw it was when I was 15. But that's the first time I ever teared up in a movie. And I tell you one thing. That night was Valentine's. I felt like I was looking fresh. I had the good gear on, the Columbia. You're
always looking fresh, son.
The Columbia rain suit. You know, she was looking, you know, pretty. She had the earrings, the bamboo earrings, at least two pairs. And I can tell you, man, we were dating at that point. We were already dating for about 4 months. And if anything was going to happen that night, that movie ruined it.
Oh, no. is this podcast about bad movie choices on dates?
No, it was one of the saddest movies all around. Nah, it's the first movie I actually shed a tear and messed me up in. And it was a sad movie for everything that didn't happen. So, you know, it was one of those things. I rounded first. I rounded second. I'm going to third. But then they threw it to third. I didn't know they caught it. So I had to make my way all the way back to first.
That's a complicated metaphor.
It was like, I thought it was a pop. I thought it was a hit to the outfield. I rounded second. I was going to third. And then the third base coach told me, no, he caught it. Now I got to go all the way back to first. That's exactly what happened when I went to see that movie. I remember afterwards, all the girls were crying. They were depressed. They were like, we just want to go home. Let's just go. And I was like, oh, man. And we walked in. I went to a bodega, bought a coffee. I was like, night's done. There goes my fresh new haircut and my brand new Columbia rain suit for nothing.
Oh, man.
But anyway, when you think about saddest movies, and I put this up, what was your saddest movie, Chris? The movie that you did the...
Now, saddest movie or movie where I tried to get some in the theater and it didn't work out?
Hey, you got one of those too, share it with us.
Yeah. Lord of the Rings. Way too long.
Anyway. Oh, so it was sad on that part.
Yeah.
The whole time, do you even know what it was about, Chris? Oh, you just looking at your watch the whole time?
I tried to get some during, but it didn't work out. But
they didn't sell the popcorn buckets with the hole in the bottom?
No, I wish I knew that then. I wish I knew that trick then. But no, seriously?
Yeah.
I actually have two sad movies, but this one's the killer right here, The Road. Have you seen The Road?
Yeah, man.
If anyone has seen The Road and kept a straight face, they're the most horrific, horrible person on the planet.
That's with Viggo Mortensen.
Yeah. Where he had to keep his son alive during some sort of...
weird post-apocalyptic, they never say type ordeal.
Yeah.
That was tough. That was definitely tough, and... you know, me having two sons, I put myself... I mean, if you took it hard, imagine how I was. I was, you know, breathing hard a lot through that movie.
Yeah, I can only imagine. I thought of you after I watched it. I was like, should I call him and warn him not to watch this movie?
I knew I had to because you had told me to. And anything that has to do with post-apocalyptic anything, I mean, I'm going to watch.
I read the book, too, so it was like I punished myself twice.
What was the second one? You said you had two.
Oh, what Dreams May Come?
What Dreams May Come. That's Cuba Gooding?
And was it Cuba Gooding?
Yeah, that was
Robin Williams.
Robin Williams and Cuba Gooding Jr.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was sad.
We have to check that, but yeah.
No, it was. It was Cuba Gooding, okay. and Robin Williams.
Yeah, it's one of those movies that... I won't say it hits close to home, because it's kind of a bizarre movie. But, you know, the concept is kind of its own, where a couple loses their children in some, you know, in, I forgot what it was, some sort of accident. And then once they finally settle down and try and start to deal with the fact that they lose their children, the husband, Robin Williams, dies, and he's in heaven, and he basically tries, while he's in heaven, he tries to climb his way back, you know, something to that effect.
Yeah, it was weird. You didn't know if he was in hell, if he was in heaven. It was colorful, but it was bizarre. It was one of those movies I guess I had high expectations for.
Visually, it was stunning. It was amazing.
It could come out now. People wouldn't tell the difference when it came out.
You know, and it was just one of those movies where it just had, if you're going to watch a sad movie, this was the movie to watch, you know, in my opinion. It had everything. But, so that was one of my tear jerkers for me, you know, where a guy, you know, loses his children, then he loses his own life. It was kind of like a twist where he's the one dead, but he sees his wife suffering. So he's the one really in pain, you know. Well, so is the wife, but, you know, it's from his point of view, you know, of basically losing everything from his life and his children and to see his wife suffer with trying to deal with losing her whole family, you know.
I think a lot of times, like sad movies and tearjerkers or, you know, romantic movies or whatever it might be, sometimes they get passed over because when you think of sad movies, you think about movies that have to do with breakups or someone dying, but most of the times growing up, it was from a female perspective. And you just named two movies, The Road and What Dreams May Come, that came from a male's perspective, and it was a really sad movie.
Actually, won an Academy Award for Best Visuals.
Yeah, that was really cool.
What Dreams May Come did.
Yeah, it was. That's really cool because, you know, as you were talking, I'm like, wow, those are two movies that have males as the main focus, and it was still sad. It didn't have nothing to do really with the last scene you see a kid dying or a wife dying. It was really about the struggles of these men having to cope and deal with what they were going through, you know?
Yeah.
It was almost like About Schmidt. And I'm not that saying About Schmidt was sad, but did you ever see About Schmidt with Jack Nicholson?
No.
His wife dies. He takes his trailer. He decides to, like, drive cross country. And he, like, adopts a kid from, like, Africa. And so every month he writes to this kid and he sends money, almost like those children, save the children type deals. Really? But that's his only friend. It's a pen pal letter that he only writes. He never gets anything back. So the movie is kind of has a sad undertone of he's a lonely guy. You know, he's trying to find his way without his wife because she was always his partner. She was the one. So it's... That was pretty good, you know. Do you have a third one? Those are the two that you could really pull out?
That's all I could pull out of me.
All right, so, you know.
I'm not a sad movie guy. I don't know.
On Facebook, I went on and, you know, I pretty much said, like, Untamed Hearts. And I threw Untamed Hearts out there because, like, the story I gave earlier is the first movie I can remember crying. I don't really know what I was crying about, the ending of the movie or the fact that the movie ended that way, and I knew that was the end of my night. So maybe that has something to do with it. But, you know, I would say Braveheart, the ending to Braveheart was pretty powerful.
Yeah.
You know, he's through freedom! And that killed me. City of Angels with Nicolas Cage.
Oh. He
falls in love with that woman.
Yeah, the concept was really
And then
sad.
He gives up his immortality to become human.
Let's not get into the Nick Cage thing, man.
I know, but then that song hits. You take it forever, you love me, and you don't know.
Don't sing it. We get it. Shut up.
Sooner or later.
Oh, man.
You know what? I'm going to give an honorable mention to End of Watch. Have you seen End of Watch? It's recent.
No, but I haven't seen that. I heard it was good.
To me, Jake Gyllenhaal is a phenomenal actor. I think he can do anything. And to see him in that movie, it was really good, man. The end of that movie had me. But you know what's one of my biggest tearjerkers? The Green Mile.
That was a King movie, like Stephen King, right?
No.
No, it was written by Stephen
King. Was it? King. With yeah. Tom Hanks?
Yeah, it was written
by Oh, really? I had no idea. Oh, man. when they executed him, and he's looking there, and he's still apologizing. Boosh. Anyway, those are some of the saddest movies that we could share with you. We had a lot of Facebook posts. You know what's funny? I put a lot of things out there on Facebook, and a lot of things gets, you know, a few people, they answer here and there. You know, sometimes we get more than others. And a lot of people really, you know, they gave us some good stuff. We had almost like a 12, 13 response to the saddest movies. And I guess when you think about movies, things that make you cry stay with you more than things that make you smile. Right? I guess that's the way it is in life. You could think of a few funny things, but you always remember the first things that break your heart. So, you know, I got a few responses. One, Chris Duarte, you know, he's been active, you know, on our Facebook page. We appreciate, you know, how much you go on there and you share with us. Chris Duarte wrote, "The end of Return of the Jedi, where Vader says he wants to see his son Luke." Why do you laugh at sad things? I don't understand what's going on here.
It catches me by surprise. That's what I'm like. The end of Return of the Jedi. And he's right.
Yeah.
That's what gets me.
The end of Return of the Jedi, when Vader says he wants to see his son Luke with his own eyes. And then he writes, "Damn it, gets me every time."
And he's right.
And I never thought about that when he goes, wow. "I want to see my son."
Okay. With my seriously, own eyes. He has the best answer.
Yeah, no. And I should have saved it, right?
Best answer.
But it was the first one that got me, and I'm like, that's amazing. That's a great answer right there. Antonio Lopez, you know, he says Schindler's List and A Beautiful Life. You know, of course, Schindler's List is a given. I mean, you know, that movie was going to be anything but sad. I mean, it was going to be everything, including sad. I mean, I didn't laugh once.
Thank you for
Sorry.
Fixing that.
Sorry.
Thank you.
And A Beautiful Life was a pretty good movie. Still, it had the overall theme of, you know, Nazi regime and things of that nature. Adam Astacio, our friend Adam.
Wolfie.
He says, most recently, Hugh Jackman in Les Miserables. Miserables? That's how you say it?
Probably, I don't know.
You suppose it Les Miserables?
Yeah, that's how I say it. It's not how it's said, but no, that's how I say it.
And he goes, but always Saving Private Ryan. Especially when he told the old man in the cemetery crying when he saw him on his knees, begging his loved ones for affirmation that he has lived a life worthy of sacrifice of those other men. And then he writes, man, sadness. That's fantastic.
Eloquent.
I actually got a text from a good friend who pays attention to the show. Angel Nunez. And he writes, The Outsiders, La Bamba, which, I mean, if you don't know the ending to La Bamba, go watch La Bamba. That whole music hits.
Again. All right. Okay.
Richie!
Oh, man.
Issa Morales is crying, Chris. You laugh at some sad things and then I can't sing? Get out of here.
I'm about to get in the helicopter.
And his number one saddest movie was The Mask. Not The Mask with Jim Carrey.
I hope not.
But the one with Cher and Eric Schultz. And it was the kid. I don't know if he was Elephant Man or he was the kid with the deformed face. You know?
Yes, I remember.
You remember that movie, yeah, right? That was pretty good. I've seen that once in my life when I was a kid. Never saw it again. It was pretty bad.
That's not a movie you rewatch, man.
I actually got an email.
Wow, you got your first email?
Yeah, my first email from a George Python Vasquez. So maybe he's like an indie wrestler. So here he goes. He emailed me actually a few topics he wanted us to talk about, but we kind of already had our themes for today. So George Python Vasquez, if you're listening, you know, we'll definitely try to get to them. This week, I don't know, this was a slow week. He was the only email, so I'm going to definitely read what he wrote. He goes, I would like us to talk about, but he ended with saying, saddest movies, I would have to say Terms of Endearment. Now, I remember kind of watching Terms of Endearment was I was a little kid. I don't know if he's kind of a younger guy who saw it or if he's an older guy who remembers it, like, you know, like us in our mid-30s. I remember my mom and my aunt and all the females in my apartment or house where I was living it crying after that movie. And I remember my dad going, I'm not watching that. So I'm going to take his word for it. I know my better half has told me, you know, you got to watch that movie. It's the saddest movie ever. And I'm like, why would I watch the movie if it's the saddest movie ever? So that was pretty good. Thank you, George Python Vasquez, for that email. And we got Victoria Hamilton. She writes, less than zero. Ugh. She actually put, ugh. And Philadelphia.
Oh, I thought that was you.
And Philadelphia. So, I mean, I cried in Philadelphia. But here's one movie. And for having two, you know, a female comment on Facebook, a female join us here today, and a few people answer. No one said Ghost, Chris. With Patrick Swayze and Demi Moore. And I always thought that movie was overrated until I saw it.
Until you saw it?
And it kind of messed me up.
Did it? Why? What part messed you up most?
The part.
Tell me.
I can't do it. It's been crazy.
I don't want you to sing it. Can you not sing something for once?
Not at the end when she's like, don't leave me. I've got to go. He saved her and now he's getting pulled and tapped. It's just bad.
Oh, he's getting choked up.
Because they're talking about sad stuff. But it was something I wanted to bring up on Valentine's Day week. You know, anybody out there, and you know, if you have a significant other, if you have a girl you're trying to impress, don't take her to the club. Don't take her to the bar and think getting her drunk is going to do it. You want to know what's going to do it? Listen to any of these movies that we just said. And even though I told you a horror story.
Don't take her to see Lord of the Rings.
And even though I told you a horror story how a sad movie ruined my night, showing that sensitive side will definitely do it. I'm going to say stay away from Ghost, because Ghost is a tearjerker, and that's bad business. If you want a nice, sad movie that, you know, you still might end up rounding second on, I'm going to say don't take any of the advice I just gave you. Don't watch a sad movie. Oh, <man. laughs>
Wow.
Welcome, folks, to the Kitchen Sink podcast. We hope you've liked what you've heard so far. We got 22 minutes in before our very first introduction. We want to thank V for joining us. Not only our very first guest, but our very first guest was a female. We loved having her. Chris Wizzy over here. Mm-hmm. How you doing?
I'm all right. Let me tell you something.
You gotta see her. He's in his recliner. He's maxing. We're having a good time over here.
I'm the dream. It's all about the dream.
This was fun. We hope you've been enjoying us to now.
I was trying to do Dusty Rhodes.
I'm gonna say this now because I always forget towards the end of the show. If you want to join us, if you want to leave your comments, you can go to facebook.com/kitchen.sink.12.
Let me tell you something.
You can also follow us at Twitter at TheKitchenSink2. No remarks, Chris? And they're going to hit
me with that. Remember Dusty Rhodes and the polka dot uniform?
Yeah, American Dream. You can also send us an email at thekitchensink2014@gmail.com. We're everywhere, folks.
I'm the dream.
Come have fun with us. As you see, I read everything.
I'm just a plumber's son.
I'm not going to give you my text number. I got a text because the guy personally knows me. He wanted to get involved with the show. He's been following us on Facebook. Adam Mustachio, Antonio Lopez, Chris Duarte, Andrew Nunez, George Python Vasquez. Thank you for your input.
He's following you in the
alleyway. This is the Kitchen Sink. We're 24 minutes in. And after the introductions like we do, Chris, how was your week?
He's probably following you in the alleyways too. You know that, right?
I hope he has money to give me, because I could definitely use some right now.
What are you going to do for that money?
What I'm going to do for it? I'm going to beat this crap out of him for it. I don't know. I ain't going nowhere else with it.
There's booty up in the dumpster scenario.
No, I'm not doing that.
All right.
So, I want to let everybody know out there, I hope you've watched The Walking Dead.
I'm not happy.
It's Thursday. You should have watched it by now. If you're thinking to yourself, damn it, these guys are spoiling it. It came on Sunday. This is Thursday. Watch it. We'll be right back after this short break.
American Dream. He's just a common man, working hard with his hands. He's just a common man, working hard for the man. Hey, he's a American Dream. Hey, he's a American Dream.
It was 2009.
Just the Rose, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry.
It was 2009. I was getting on a plane, and before I got on a plane, I took a book with me. It was a book that Chris Wizard gave me for my birthday. It was the first Walking Dead compendium, and I've been hooked ever since. And this is what this next segment is about. It's the Walking Dead
saga. Second greatest zombie story ever.
Second greatest TBD... YTA, whatever you say, yet to be determined to be.
World War Z is the best to me, I'm sorry.
It is, but, you know, the graphic novels of Walking Dead is catching up. It's right there. The show, yet to be determined. I'm liking it more and more. After my initial hatred over the first season one and a half, only because I didn't get what I want, you know, like most wrestling fans, the way they act.
Daniel Bryan.
I accepted it and said, you know what? I like what he's doing. I like the change he's doing. He's giving us a story in between the story we didn't get in the books, the compendiums and the volumes. So I dig it now. I love it. And who doesn't love, if you're a zombie fan, who doesn't love The Walking Dead?
I tell you what. Just to give you a hint on how interested I was in this first mid-season premiere. That nonsense is. Okay. At one point, I started thinking about if I was in the zombie apocalypse instead of watching the show. I was thinking to myself, you know, if I'm going to become a zombie, I know I'm not going to get bit. You know how I'm going to become a zombie? You want to know how I think I'm going to become?
Yeah, I'm looking at you. I'm sorry. Yeah, I should have said something.
He's just like, huh?
I'm just looking at you, yeah. Nodding. Like, so, yeah.
I'm going to, like, hack a zombie or, like, close the door on a zombie and, like, the gush is going to sploosh and it's going to land. One little drop is going to land in my mouth.
That's how you're going to become a zombie.
And then I'm going to become a zombie. I'm not going to get bit. My worst,
you're real confident,
germophobic
there.
Fears
you're real
are going to come
there.
True.
You're not going to get bit.
I mean, I'm just saying, with my luck, I'll go out.
Yeah, you're then hack 2,000 zombies, and the last one you hack, the eyeball flies in your mouth.
And yeah, then and I swallow it by accident.
Evil Dead style.
And then, bam, I'm a zombie. Or like one little, you know, every germaphobe's nightmare. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. How you gonna become?
You know I'm gonna become a zombie. I'll tell you how I'm gonna become a zombie. Hopefully at that point I'm still with my better half, if she hasn't been bitten yet.
Oh, okay. Your wife?
Yes. I'm gonna become a zombie.
You're talking about me?
No. I said better half. I'm gonna come home one day.
That hurts.
And I'm gonna see him laying there, and I'm gonna be like, you know, the zombie apocalypse had a toll on us. I found this wine in somebody's, you know, cupboard.
He's making this motion like he's juggling things.
Gosh. And I'm gonna walk next to the person. I'm like, wow, you know, the body, she's all warm and cuddly, and I'm gonna do the little hey babe, and I'm gonna slide around, and that's how I'm gonna become a zombie, Chris. That's how I'm gonna become a zombie. Because I mean, who got time to really go to CVS at that point? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, man.
And I'm a been done run out. of whatever it is, whatever contraception I'm using by the time the zombie apocalypse is well into its course.
You're just going to run up and do your thing without waiting.
I mean, if it's my better half and she's just laying there, I'm thinking at this point she probably got bit. I don't know about it. I slide into the sleeping bag in some foreign, you know, some tent in the woods somewhere in Canada. And that's how I become a zombie. People are going to be like, how did he get bit? He was awesome. He was taking out like 200 zombies a day. He brought us our food. He was the man. He was our leader.
Wow, are you confident? Wow. You just had to keep going with that one.
What are we going to do now without our fearless leader? Oh, my God.
Let me tell you.
Now we got to follow Chris. Chris, are you
awake? No. First off, I'm not sticking with you during the zombie apocalypse.
Of course you are.
Because I want to live.
You're going to live long enough to swallow an eyeball, bro.
Yeah, but at least it'll be... It will, I can't tell you
what's going to happen to me with you. Only because this is the explicit show. Chris can't tell us what actually is going to happen.
Man, there's no way I'm following you around.
Of course you are, Chris. No. You have to. We're the only two who know everything that we need to know to survive. You're going to do it.
I don't need you. I'm good.
Chris, come on, Chris. So.
I mean, I need you to throw you in front of me.
No, that's what you need.
That's about it, man. Other than that, I'll be all right.
Okay. Who's going to tie your shoes?
I don't want to go. That's a different story. That's V's job.
All right. I hope that wasn't, you know, code for anything. But
you gonna have a zombie bite on your testicular fortitude?
Probably, if I'm not a zombie yet, that's what's gonna happen. So we're definitely having fun with it. But you know, you voiced your displeasure with the mid-season premiere of Walking Dead. And we're going to get to that in about 1 minute. And let me say that when I first saw it, I went, oh, man, they're going to focus on Carl the whole show. And they focused on Michonne. And they gave us backstory that they really don't delve too much into in the graphic novels. What did you think about Carl's part? Because his part was also in the graphic novels. Him telling his father, I'll be fine. I hope, you know, you should just die. Acting like a total brat was in the graphic novels, which is awesome. I actually went back to my little bookshelf. I found it. That was pretty cool that Robert Kirkman went back to that. You know, I feel like lately he hasn't really been going back to the graphic novel as much. Only when he wants to hit pivotal moments in the story, he goes back to the graphic novel. But this show is actually a lot like the graphic novels. Except for they went with Michonne and they gave her a really deep backstory that's starting to unfold that's not really in the graphic novels quite yet. Even though we kind of get it if you read the graphic novels. What do you feel about those two different storylines in one show?
I like the Michonne storyline. You know, but the thing about Carl was pissing me off. He's like a whiny baby. He's a bit, you know, and which, you know, he's a kid. He's going to have reactions, of course. But it just, we didn't need to have, like, a whole section. Like, there were moments that I enjoyed in the show where he's sitting there eating his pudding. You know, I liked that. And the moment where he looked at the video games and, like, kind of was, like, sad about it, you know.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
But other than that, I feel like that's all I needed from him. I almost wish they did more with Michonne. Because I think that character is amazing.
Yeah, she's bona fide. She's a bona fide B.A. Okay? Yeah. She's a bona fide B.A. I see her, you know, takes out, what, 30 zombies in that scene?
Yeah.
Which we're about to talk about that scene because while watching it, we watched it together and Chris Wizard brought up a great point. How is Michonne just kind of walking with the zombies in front of her? See, we understood it before. Well,
not with the zombies in front of her. She's in the middle of a herd.
A herd of zombies.
A whole herd.
See, it worked.
And if all I had to do was grab onto a rope with a zombie on it, I'd be set for the whole...
Yeah, you just walk it. And you're good. That's the secret.
Yeah.
Because I understood it in the graphic novel because the zombies walked behind her. So it was like she was walking and they were following her. So it was like they were still hungry. And that's why they followed her. Yeah. But she wasn't scared of them because they had no jaw, they had no arms. But putting her behind the zombies And them just walking, I felt like it's like if you just ran into a middle of a herd of zombies and walked with them.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to be the critical, negative Nancy, but I thought that was important because she's really just walking with a herd of zombies. I mean, we remember Rick having to cover himself in blood in the first season to walk amongst the zombies. You know, we've played enough zombie games to know you can't just walk with zombies. We've read enough books. So to have her just kind of walking with zombies, I was like, come on, Rob, as a Robert Kirkman, you gotta hit these details. Put her in front of them, have them following her, and then it makes a little sense. But that's my critical thing with the Michonne. I agree with you totally. I love Michonne's backstory because they don't really talk about it in the graphic novels. But as far as the Carl thing go, Carl's always been somebody who's been on the fence with me. I've always been a little edgy with him, like his mother. You know, I couldn't stand...
Oh, I hated his mom.
I can't stand his mom. I hated his mom, and Carl always came off as that little whiny brat. And in the graphic novels, he comes off as a little tougher. You know, someone like you see who's eventually going to step up. He has his little kid moments. He is a little kid. But
you know what gives me hint, like what annoys me is there's certain shows that I said, Breaking Bad, where the characters just annoy me so bad I can't get through the season. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because they're just so horrible and overtly annoying where I'm like, this can't be in any sort of reality where you're just that ridiculous. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Well, I'm
sure that it is, but it just...
I mean, wait, Chris, are you saying there's no way possible that there's someone who actually exists who's that annoying, who can annoy you every single day of your life? Is that what you're saying right now?
No, I'm not saying that at all. You're right. Okay. But I don't
bring that up there.
I don't sit down to watch them.
You're right. You don't invite them to your house to just annoy the crap out of you every day.
Like, just stare at them like I stare at a Netflix marathon. You know what I'm saying? I don't do that.
Totally get you. The one thing I like, though...
But yes, there are people. Like,
so there is a reality to it. There is realism to it. You gotta.
But I don't sit there and watch it.
I know.
You know what I mean?
What I liked was they wrapped up the bratty little Carl quick.
Yeah,
they gave it to
that's
us.
That's a good thing. But you know what I think was the worst part? No, I think I'm overblowing the Carl thing because it was the premiere,
and we wanted some stuff.
Yeah, we wanted some.
And we
craziness.
Got Rick sleeping, Carl eating pudding. And Michonne giving
us
I
want a little twist of irony. I want the actor who plays Rick to get an award for that episode because he took a nap the whole show.
He took a nap the whole show.
I want him to get some sort of award for that.
Yeah. Listen, anybody who slams the actor who plays Rick for not being a good actor... Listen.
He napped really well.
No, what I'm saying is through the whole Walking Dead series, maybe he doesn't quite look like the character in the graphic novels. He comes really close to it, and he plays him really well. He's humanized. I'm glad he's not a superhero, a guy who's fearless and who sticks his chest out at every... He's human. And I love that they humanized him. And in the show, he's indecisive, all over the place. All he wants to do is survive and hope his son survives. And he wants to do the best for the people around him. And that's real, you know? And I don't know. I've heard people say, oh my God, he's such a horrible actor. I'm like, what do you want, man? Like, this, they made him as... Calling him a horrible actor is almost a compliment. Because he's acting how somebody actually would act in this situation. That's just my take on it. I
never thought he was a bad actor.
That's I never true. Thought he was a bad actor. I never thought he was. I like everyone in the show. You know, at first, like, you know, Daryl bothered me a little bit because he wasn't in the graphic novels, but they threw him out there. They put him in there, you know, to get the attention of the ladies. He ended up becoming one of my favorite guys on the show. Like, Daryl was literally one
of
my...
You think they'd ever throw him in the comics somehow?
I think he'll come around. I definitely think he'll come around. But that was definitely one of my favorite characters. And I tell my better half, you know, my wife, all the time, how about they kill Daryl? She's like, I'll be real angry. I don't know if I'll be able to watch. I'm like, you watch for Daryl? She's like, no, I just got so invested in that character. He's one of my favorite characters. And I'm like, well, you better not watch Game of Thrones.
Don't get me started on Game of Thrones, dude.
We're not going to talk about Game of Thrones. Do not get me started on that.
We'll be here for like 3 hours. Don't get me started.
So, you know, there's a lot of things I could have not, you know, let me ask you something. Zombie apocalypse, you go into a house, you can have one thing. Chocolate pudding, one strip of bacon. What do you take? A can of chocolate pudding, fresh, or a strip of bacon?
Well,
fried, crispy strip of bacon. One crispy strip of bacon.
What kind of timing do you gotta have?
I'm just giving you an option.
To walk into a house, or everyone's dead, but there's a crispy piece of bacon. Here it goes. That's right.
Here it goes. You're walking. The zombie's in the middle. You go left, he goes left. Ugh. You go right, he goes right. Ugh. On one side is a bowl of chocolate, a can of pudding. So it's not ruined. It's a can of pudding. But on the other side is a piece of bacon sitting on a frying pan that I guess the person who was cooking ended up dying and it stood in the frying
pan.
That's
an old piece of meat, dude.
That's beef jerky, son. All right? Wow. That's beef jerky.
I'm going to have to go with the pudding there.
I'm going with the bacon all the time.
This is why I'm not going to hang out with you.
No, you're going to hang out with me because I'm going to go with the bacon. The zombie's going to follow me. You're going to get your pudding. All
right? Oh, you're right. I could use you. Yeah, you're right.
All
right? I'm going to be that guy who uses the other guy.
You were for the pudding, folks. There you go.
But I'm going to use you as my shield.
Oh, that's what you're going to use
me as. My stupid shield.
Oh, the stupid shield. Listen, we got a lot of people we could use the stupid shields, bro. All right?
I'm just saying, if you want to go for a 1,000-year-old piece of meat, you're my stupid shield.
It's 1,000. Why is a 1,000-year-old piece of meat? It's only been about a year and a half. It's beef jerky. How long do you think beef jerky sits in those packets?
How it doesn't magically become beef jerky by laying there.
Yes, this, it does, Chris. You ever left a piece of bacon after you make it and you go, wow, that's too much bacon. And you walk away from it, you forget about it. You come back, you know, you go out at night, you come home, you go to sleep, you wake up the next morning, that piece of bacon's still in the frying pan.
Do I come back 6 months later?
No, it's
gone by then.
I know, but you eat the bacon the next day. Do you ever wake up the next day and go, wow, this bacon's been sitting here all night? Do you ever just grab it and kind of crunch a little bit on it? Because I do. And it's fantastic. I throw in a salad right now. Like, I swear. Give me all your old bacon stuck in your stove right now.
Man.
What do you think about Hershey's head still being, like... I mean, it started it right from where they left off. It wasn't even, like, 2 weeks later. Did you think they needed Hershey's head? Do you think that was too much?
It was a little bit much.
Right? We got it. He got his head chopped off, and now it's going to get stabbed.
Yeah.
It was a little too much, you know. I wasn't angry at it, but I was like, all right. You know, come on. I like you said, Carl getting excited about the TV and video game, then getting mad that he's never going to play that again. That was pretty cool. There was a lot of little things that I enjoyed. But something about Carl that really bothers me, and now that next week it looks like they're going to focus on the other people in their group, and we're not going to see Rick and Carl and Michonne.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like, man, now we're going to be focused on Daryl. You know, we're going to be focused on everybody else who escaped. Let's see what happens. You know, in the graphic novel, the baby doesn't exist no more. So Judith better not be alive. That bloody stain on that car seat better have been real. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
On that seat. She, listen, that's something that happened. I know you didn't want to show a baby getting eaten by zombies. You didn't have to. The blood stain on the car seat was enough. I better not see Judith alive because I'm like, that's done. Let's move past that. We're going into a different realm now. And this is going to get weird now because, you know, in the graphic novels up to this point, they don't immediately find the next antagonist for a few books. So let's see where they go with Walking Dead from this point on. So that was a little Walking Dead take. Don't get mad. I told you it was going to be a spoiler. And we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, guess what we have for you? I'm not going to tell you. We'll tell you when we get back. So, Chris, I wonder what time is it?
I think you know what time it is.
Do I know what time it is, Chris?
It's time for Weird Shit! An 18-year-old Texas man dressed as a banana and was detained Saturday after people reported seeing him at Beaumont intersection carrying an AK-47 with an attached drum barrel slung across his back. He also had a sign with an arrow on it.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm just in a banana with a drum. AK-47 and an arrow?
Yeah. Derek Poe, owner of a gun store, Golden Triangle Tactical, told the news that the stunt was a promotion for a grand opening of his business.
What? Banana gun? Arrow drummers?
Which recently changed locations. The fact that it was apparently lost on concerned passersby who placed numerous calls to 911 to report the strapped banana.
All right. So, what do you think the call was? There's a banana in the highway?
With an AK-47?
No.
With a drum barrel.
Let's think of two separate phone calls. Hello?
Yes, may I help you?
Yeah. There's a banana on the highway with a drum running around. And then the next call. Yeah, how may I help you? 911. There's a guy wearing a drum with an AK-47. He's just a banana.
Dude, he has an AK-47 with a drum barrel on it. That means a Boku ammunition.
Oh!
You know what I'm saying?
Okay, so it's an attachment to the gun.
Yeah.
I thought he had a gun, he had a banana suit, an arrow, and a drum.
No, he had a sign with an arrow on it, pointing to nowhere in particular.
So it wasn't like, go eat at banana smoothies.
Yeah, he was just pointing somewhere.
Well, he has an AK-47. Was it real? Did it say it was real or just say AK-47?
It just said AK-47. So.
Where was this at again?
Texas, of course. Texas. And that, my friend, is
Weird Shit!
All right, Chris, to move forward with drumming banana heads with AK-47. I don't even know how to segue that into anything I have to say.
Well, we'll just go into a little bit of comic book news. How's that?
Okay, good. That'll help. That definitely shoot.
All right. So, a little tidbit. The upcoming CW show, The Flash, is going to have John Wesley Shipp on it, who played the original, the show from on Channel 2 way back when, what, the 90s,
92?
I think? 92? He was The Flash.
92, 91, maybe?
So he's going to be on the new
maybe
Flash.
Maybe earlier. I could be wrong. I never watched that show at all.
I watched it. It was pretty good.
So it could probably be earlier than that.
So he's going to be on the show, not as The Flash, obviously, because that would be a really old... So he's going to be on the show, and he's going to be a guest as some sort of mysterious character. So there's one little tidbit for the upcoming Arrow. I mean, sorry, The Flash show.
Which is good, because if you're enjoying The Arrow...
Which I am, actually.
Which I am. Mm-hmm. And Hulu still haven't put the first 5 episodes of Season 2 on, which I'm upset because I can't get into Season 2. And then I'm sitting there and I get a little beep on my, my iPod. Bing! Guess who shows up on Arrow today? I'm like, no! Come on! I almost want to break my iPod over my knee. They're ruining it.
Who?
Nah, I'm not saying anything.
Who ruined it?
No, I don't know. It was just one of these. I'm connected to Arrow, the Twitter Arrow account, and they like saying who's gonna show up on the next episode to get people excited.
Yeah,
A canary, whatever they call it. I was like, God damn you!
And one more little comic tidbit: Marvel announces new She-Hulk ongoing series, which has failed a couple times in the past, so they're gonna give it a try again. The original Green She-Hulk.
You know why I think it failed, Chris?
Okay.
Because it's She-Hulk.
You sexist.
What are you doing with her that you haven't done with Hulk? We move on.
Putting her in a dress?
So staying in the comic books. So, A few episodes ago, we told you that Deadpool was getting married. Well, mm-hmm. guess what? Mm-hmm. On the fourth issue of Marvel's Infinite Deadpool, it turns out we finally find out who Deadpool's going to get married to. On the third issue, it's not what he delivered to Dracula, it's who he delivered to Dracula. And we're going to find out that Deadpool is getting married to the mysterious Shikla. And she's actually been released into the Marvel Universe, so she's a new character. They're not really being open about her backstory about it. But guess who Deadpool's, if he's messing with Dracula, he's obviously got the attention of Blade.
Uh-oh.
So we see a possible Deadpool versus Blade in the future. Some more Deadpool news.
I'm going to have to put Deadpool spoilers in the commentary.
Deadpool has actually, the movie has actually been picked up by a Tim Miller.
Is it going to be this guy?
Ryan Reynolds. Everybody's saying that Tim Miller is very interested in bringing Ryan Reynolds back to do it correctly, the way Deadpool is meant to be.
Yeah.
Nobody knows Tim Miller. He was actually the head of special effects and visual designer for movies like X-Men 1, X-Men 2, the original Planet of the Apes with Mark Wahlberg, and Night at the Museum. So it's actually a special effects guy who's taking the lead role as director. So another thing that's interesting in the comic book world is that, the X-Men producer, Lauren Shuler, revealed that a Gambit movie might be closer than we think. And guess who wants to play Gambit? And who's actually, she's like, okay, yeah, that'll work. We'll consider it.
Hold on. Let me think.
You're not going to get it.
I'm not going to get it?
You're not going to get it. If you get it, Chris, I swear to God, I'm in the show right now.
Is it going to be...
I'm going to tell you.
Is it going to be Chris Rock?
No, it's Channing Tatum. Okay.
As Gambit?
Yeah, they asked him, who's the one character you would love to play? He said Gambit. And Lauren Shuler heard it and said, you know what? That might work. Channing Tatum's going to be one of the first actors to come in and act for the role.
Let's ask another question. Does anyone want to see a Gambit movie?
I think a Gambit movie is somewhat important because he has such a big role in the X-Men universe, especially now with the Apocalypse era about to start. With the new movies coming out, you know what I'm saying? So Gambit did have a big role in it, and I think if you can make it interesting somehow, I don't know, Gambit was never that interesting to me. He was cool, hey, mon ami, he liked Rogue, but I really don't know what else you got with him. I don't know if you really got a deep backstory with him, but let's see what they do.
That's one of those where you could totally make it up, I'll be alright with it.
Yeah.
But make it like a super action flick.
Yeah. Alright, and here's a spoiler for Guardians of the Galaxy. I don't know how much of a spoiler this is, but Adam Warlock is set to appear in Guardians of the Galaxy. So awesome. There's definitely confirmation that there's going to be Infinity Gauntlet within the next few Marvel movies, which have Guardians of the Galaxy and the Avengers. And as far as Adam, Warlock goes, on the Avengers and Guardian Galaxy, there was a leaked time review that Guardians of the Galaxy is set to go 2 hours and 30 minutes in the movie theaters. So that was...
I want to see that. I can't wait for that.
Yeah.
I'm a Guardians of the Galaxy fan.
I'm pretty excited about that. So that was our movie news and comic book news all combined into one. I want to tell everybody out there that we're going to be starting a new format. This is our sixth episode, and we're so happy to be doing it, and we're glad that everybody's following us on Twitter, posting their opinions on Facebook, the few emails that we've been getting. We're going to do a format, and we want to let people know that we love doing this. If you have any ideas for a format or segments that you want to give us, just let us know. And we want to tell everybody out there, we've been trying our best to keep it clean, to be PG-13. Anything we say here recently, you pretty much could go watch at, Grown Ups 2 movie. Whatever happened in Grown Ups 2, we're pretty much doing that here. I think we've done a great job, right, Chris? Was it? Let me tell you, it's not easy for this guy not to be a sailor. But there is news. The last episode of every month is going to be something that we personally call the Dirty Sink. But it's still going to be known as the Kitchen Sink to you guys.
It's going to be full of F-bombs.
It's going to be our explicit show. So the last recording, the last podcast of every month is going to be our explicit show. That's the one you don't want to have on really loud while your kids are in the room. That's going to be the one you don't want to put in the lounge of your workplace. And the one you don't want to tell people that it's a good thing to listen to, you know, when they're in church or something like that.
Or should you?
But I'm telling you, the last podcast show of every month is going to be explicit. So that last week of the month, know that podcast, when you turn it on, look up. If you see that red E on iTunes, or you see the explicit sign on Podomatic, it will be explicit. And just to help people on Facebook, I will put, this is our explicit show. Okay? We're going to have fun with it. We have a very, very special show that we're going to be doing next week. Me and Chris Wizard were just talking about. We might actually have two shows next week.
We're going to dedicate a show to...
That's right, Chris. What we're going to dedicate it to? You know it. We're dedicating a whole entire show to Star Wars.
Only a Sith deals in absolutes.
Are you excited, Chris? I think I'm excited.
I'm very excited.
You know, I've loved Star Wars.
If this was an explicit show, I would say how excited I was.
Well, you should sit up because it's starting to show. Anyway, we're going to have a very special show next week on Star Wars. And
what's that on the desk?
We're actually discussing of doing two shows. The first show is going to air on our original time slot, but then our special show of Star Wars is going to air on Sunday, February 23rd. So we're putting out two shows next week, Chris. We're burning the midnight oil, and that's what you call dedication.
We're going to run out of crap to talk about.
We're never going to...
You see, you ran out of crap to talk about.
Nards. Anyway, Chris, was it? You know what I did forget to talk about? Well, I guess I didn't forget it. I'm going to mention it now. Folks, for everybody out there excited who've been watching WWE lately and have been getting excited about the product that's being, you know, shown to you or not. Maybe you've been a cynic or you've not been too happy with what they've been doing with some of your favorite wrestlers. Just know. If you're over the age of about 28 around there, you're going to appreciate what's happening on February 24th. That's the Monday right after the Elimination Chamber, Chris. That's the day that the WWE Network launches. And guess who's going to be at Raw to help land this plane?
The American Dream. WWE Network.
Not the American Dream, but you're close. It's still a real American.
I am a real American, fight for the rights of every man. I am a real American, fight for what's right, fight for your life.
Hulk Hogan, folks, will be appearing on the February 24th Monday night edition of Raw, which is after the Elimination Chamber, and that's the same night that the WWE Network launches. How cool is that? If you're a fan of the 80s and you like the nostalgia, if you're a fan of Hollywood Hulk Hogan from the NWO, or even his last run in WWE when he fought The Rock, you're gonna wanna see this. Okay, to me, wrestling has been on point. I like that they're dragging us along.
Is he in shape? Can he go?
I don't think he's definitely not going to have a match, but just to see him will be awesome, to see him back home to the mothership, and that's going to be pretty cool.
I heard rumors of, or at least that they want to have a final match between Hogan and Piper.
You know, that wouldn't be too bad. I know a lot of people go, I don't want to see those guys. They can't work. No crap. But could Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant work? Was that a wrestling match? No. But it drew so much pop. It drew so much attention. And for this match to happen, I think it would be amazing. It'd give guys like us in our age, you know, mid-30s, something to just smile about, you being a huge Piper fan. I think that would be amazing.
Roddy Piper.
That is actually all we have to say this week, folks.
I chew bubble gum and kick ass.
That's right. And guess what he ran out of?
Bubble gum.
From all of us here at the Kitchen Sink, our special guest V, Chris Wizard, myself, Eddie Z. Okay, be safe, have fun, and stay passionate.
If you don't eat your meat, you can't have any pudding. How can you have any pudding if you don't eat your meat?
We don't need no education. We don't need no thought control.